There hasn't been a ghost sighting in 30 years. New York in the 80s? It's like The Walking Dead. Your dad never mentioned this to you?
It's just my mom. My grandfather died. My mom says we're just here to pick through the rubble of his life.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
You are listening to Don't Be That Guy, Guide to Sequel Remix. I'm Mark, he's Mike.
I'm Mike, you're Mark.
Yep.
Did I get that straight?
Yeah. So people can understand, hear our voices, hear the difference between our voices as they're going to go on this hour-long journey with us.
Yeah.
You and I, we've been chatting, but it seems like not a lot's going on. We're in this weird time of the year. I feel like every year we're just like in this like dead zone of a year.
Yeah.
It's not winter. We're not in the holidays. We're not doing it. But it's not quite spring. We haven't quite started doing the spring stuff.
I don't know if we, like, I know some people use the term shoulder season.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a stupid term invented by people that are overly extreme about other activities.
I've never heard shoulder season.
I think it's like the transition from like I hear it a lot talked about like people that ski, like downhill ski. It's the shoulder season, so it's between when they can ski and then when they can do whatever extreme summer activity they do, like kayaking or whatever.
Gotcha.
It's the shoulder season, so you might be able to ski a little bit. You might be able to kayak a little bit, but neither are great.
Mm-hmm.
I just call it March.
Yeah, it's just
March.
Is this the Ides of March?
This is the Ides of March.
Is this what they're talking about?
Yeah.
I didn't see the movie. I'm not familiar with the term. Is this what they're referring to?
This is it, absolutely.
Yeah, we're in the Ides of March.
Ides of March. My dad always said March is the worst month.
Oh.
And he's got a point. I mean, the only thing we really get is St. Patrick's Day.
Yep.
Which... I don't give a shit.
I don't care.
And not as many people do care, but college basketball.
Does it feel like March Madness is going to be more April Madness? I know that the finals always seem to fall in the first week of April. And I guess with just the way the calendar falls, I guess technically this week is still March. It just feels like by the weekend we're talking April.
Yeah, I mean, we're into...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, March Madness...
It feels like it's a week late.
Everything seems late.
Yeah.
But then Easter seems early. It's a weird... It's that...
Yeah. See,
it's that fucking February 29th. It screwed everything up.
Yeah.
Screwed everything up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Well, during these Ides, what have you been watching?
See, this is why it's the Ides. Because I literally... I have one movie on my list, Mark.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why.
You've been so busy with the Ides that...
Been doing the Ides thing. March Madness has taken plenty of my watching time.
How's your bracket? Is it busted?
I didn't even do a bracket this year, but I can assure you if I did, it'd be intact.
Okay.
100%.
You've just been watching for the love of the game.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And then I got... I guess this is kind of what I've been watching. I'm absolutely... super into the HBO show Tokyo Vice.
Mm.
Yeah. This show is awesome.
I see a lot of ads for that.
I cannot believe I waited this long to start it.
Yeah.
It is so cool.
Wait, didn't that just debut?
I think there's two seasons.
Oh, okay. So season two just came out.
Yeah. Gotcha. What a cool show. But here's my movie.
Yeah.
2023. I finally watched my rental, Anatomy of a Fall.
Okay, yeah. Which is also available on Hulu for those of you who don't want to rent it.
I watched my rental at a principal.
You paid
for
it.
Got my money out of it.
Yeah.
No commercials. It's cash.
Yeah.
It's a cash movie. I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Best Picture nominee. It is
French. Oh, was it a Best Picture nominee? I can't remember.
Yeah, nominated for Best Picture. Mostly in French. Murder mystery, kind of?
Very.
But not really murder mystery.
Very interesting, half in French, half in English.
Yeah.
But that plays a pretty strong part of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's important to the plot.
Yeah, and...
French courts are wild.
French courts man, I want to see French Law and Order. I want to see their Law and Order show.
And I watched that movie, and I also thought it was cash. And I go, I don't know if they can remake this in America, because the courts in France are so important.
Yeah, and I'm thinking the whole time, I'm like, oh, if this was an American court, that prosecutor couldn't get away with this at all.
Gavel, like, hammering there would all be day.
Objection after objection, and they would, you know, I mean.
You can just, like, you can bring a witness to the stand, which is like a podium. You talk to them, and then you just crosstalk.
Yeah.
You could ask the person who's on trial, like, hey, you just hear what they said? What say you? And, like, she could just address it right there.
It's crazy. And I don't know how accurate that is, but it has to be somewhat accurate.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to be on trial in France.
No.
It seems like you're guilty until proven innocent over there.
It does. They're very, I mean, I know that's the job of a prosecutor, but very abrasive.
Yeah.
It seemed personal.
He was, it seemed just constantly attacking.
Yeah.
But, yeah, great movie. Really enjoyed it. Yeah, other than stuff for the show, what have you been watching? Oh, I'm sorry, my list.
No, that's all right, because I watched so many things, but, okay, I'm just going to do them in the order, I'm going to do these in the order they were released. 1971, Gene Hackman, Roy Scheider, The French Connection. It's the first time watching this. It's a cash movie.
Oh, so cash.
That's super cash.
Yeah.
Has a sequel, French Connection 2. Was not aware. So, I don't know.
I wasn't aware of that either. I
might put a pin in that for later. But, yeah. It's a cop procedural. Just, you know, you got a cop. You got not a dirty cop, but a rough cop.
Yeah. Plays by his own rules.
Plays, a cop who plays by his own rules. He's got his partner, Chief Brody himself. They're on a case. And that's great. Yeah. And, you know, by the end, you know, the movie's just kind of dirty. And by the end, you don't feel great.
No.
But it's like, hey, that's the justice system of 1971. Oh. You know?
Popeye Doyle, right?
Popeye Doyle, yeah. Yeah, Hackman's great.
Yeah.
And, so is Scheider. 1975, The Killer Elite. This stars Robert Duvall and James Caan. It's a Sam Peckinpah movie. They play, like, mercenary, like, spies, kind of, or, like, you know, like, black ops mercenaries. And James Caan gets double-crossed. And the beginning of the movie, I'm like, this is great. And then the second half of the movie, not even the second half, the first 20 minutes, I'm like, this is great. This is like a spy kind of movie, and he gets double-crossed, and, you know, he's going to have to get his revenge. But then the movie turns into, like, just him in rehab, rehabbing his injuries. And then ninjas show up. And by the end, I'm like, movie, you lost me. So I'm going to have to say trash, I guess. I was into this movie. Even him going to rehab. I was like, oh, hey. He gets shot in the elbow and the kneecap. But he lives. And he's got to rehab himself. I'm like, okay, but he's still going to get his revenge. And then and I don't want to spoil anything, he rehabs, he gets back out there, ninjas are there. And there's like karate fighting in this movie where it didn't feel like there should be karate fighting in this movie. And kind of gets a little messy towards the end. Okay. So. Yeah, it was a weird. That's a weird movie. The Killer Elite. Yeah. Okay. We watched that for the show. Okay. Now I think I get pretty recent here. Okay. Then we go into 2023. We jump right into it. Did a rewatch. Sat down, start to finish. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is the sequel to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It's a cash movie. Like, watching it again, I was like, man, this movie's so great. The only thing I hold against it is that it does end abruptly because they are setting up a part 3. Okay. But other than that, man, this movie's so cool.
Yeah, I just haven't got that one yet.
Yeah, it's a little long for a kid, especially. My I told my kid, we're like, hey, we're gonna do like a Saturday movie night popcorn. We're gonna watch a movie. It's 2 hours 20 minutes, and probably about the hour 40 mark, I think he was lost his attention. But had me the whole way. So that's Cash. 2023. Next Goal Wins. Taika Waititi directed, starring Michael Fassbender. There is a lot I like about this movie. But the stuff that I didn't like, I like hated. It's weird. I almost feel like I like Taika Waititi as a director. I don't think he should have directed this movie. Based on the true story. And by when it ended, I go, God, I wish this was just like a Disney studio million-dollar arm-esque straight feel-good biopic. Because the actual story about this American Samoa soccer team seems really interesting. But it's almost too Taika Waititi quirky in it. And some of the stuff is really funny, but the balance of being a really funny movie and also being a sports drama, it didn't quite work for me. So I'm going to say trash, but yeah. Apparently there's a documentary also called Next Goal Wins about this American Samoa soccer team that I might check out. 2023. Let's go. Nicolas Cage, Dream Scenario. This is a movie where he plays a college professor who, for whatever reason, shows up in people's dreams. Yeah. And I like parts of it, but the second half of this movie, it didn't work. I think they were trying to say too much about too many different things. I kind of got the movie. I was like, okay, I get it. This is kind of like about like internet cult, like unknowing viral stars and their rise and ultimate like fall and how people like handle the fame, and they just kind of use it as dreams. I was like, I get it. I think you're taking way too many. You're just trying to do too much in an hour and a half movie. Nick Cage is good though. I'm gonna say trash on that one too. 2023, also Academy Award nominated movie, Poor Thing, starring Emma Stone, Mark Ruffalo. This movie is weird. It's a weird movie. Emma Stone is great in it. So is all the characters are great. Mark Ruffalo is really good in it. Willem Dafoe is really good. It looks incredible. It's very, you know, it has a very interesting way it's shot, and a lot of the frames look really, really cool. I just think it's too weird for me. I've tried this guy, Yorgos Lanthimos. I've tried a few of his movies, and I think I can finally just say, you're a very talented man. I think you're too weird for this guy.
Sure.
So I'm going to do the thing where I was like, it's also very funny. It's a very funny movie. I laughed a lot. So I'm not going to say it's trash because as a comedy, it was really good. But I think genre-wise, I just can't give it a cash because like, I don't think I'm into this like weird fable. It's a movie not for me. Like that. And Dream Scenario almost falls in that too, where it's like, I think you're just too weird for me.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair.
I watched those two back to back too, and they do have very similar themes, themes and like just kind of that like fable of a movie, which I wasn't expecting from Dream Scenario, but as it goes, I was like, oh okay, I kind of get it. I was like, yeah, I'm a simple man, you know. Give me the Killer League. Maybe I was too hard.
Ninjas in a hospital.
Yeah, maybe I was too hard on the ninjas that showed up on the Golden State Bridge to fight James Caan. I skipped this movie because I just finished it last night. 2005. So now I'm jumping back. But opening day is upon us tomorrow. I was looking at baseball movies I hadn't seen or haven't seen in a while. I threw on 2005's Fever Pitch. This movie's trash.
That's Barrymore and Fallon, Barrymore, right? And
Fallon. Fallon plays one of the most obnoxious characters. We just got done with Ace Ventura. And if I'm doing a most obnoxious movie character, I might throw Jimmy Fallon's.
How many times does he say wicked?
No wickets.
No wickets. Isn't he's not Boston.
He's not very Bostonian. Oh, man. Like, I know, I think Jimmy Fallon's from Boston. He's not very Bostonian. It's very Red Sox, you know, very Red Sox centric, and it just was. He's a man child. And I was like, I don't think Drew Barrymore is better than you. She could do better. But then she's also kind of like stereotypically written like for a rom-com. It's like, oh, she's a woman who's only into business.
Yeah.
And I was like, this movie sucks. But cool, like, in the idea that the movie was written and it was like, oh, the ending, the Red Sox lose like they always do, but this guy's going to find love. And it was the season that they won the World Series, so they had to like change the ending. That's cool. You know, that's a fun little piece of trivia. I saw another movie, but it kind of ties into what we did for the show. But I saw a documentary called Ghost Heads about super fans of the Ghostbusters.
Awesome.
Yeah. I thought I was going to learn more about the movie, like, and fans and how, but it really is like, I guess you could do this about any super fan. It really just kind of grabs like the most like cringy people,
right?
Because if your favorite thing, I mean, I've seen documentaries like this where it's like what's that, like My Little Pony, or I mean, yeah, Red Sox. If you're this like the most super fan, is probably someone I'm going to be a little repulsed by watching a documentary on.
Yeah.
So this was about Ghostbusters, but like people who build the proton packs and like go to the conventions and make it their whole life, which is interesting for a movie like Ghostbusters. But we'll talk about it because we saw two other movies that might have given it away, that in the title of this episode. We watched, for dusting off a classic month, we watched 2021's Ghostbusters Afterlife, a surprising sequel to the 1984 movie Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters is a 1984 movie directed by Ivan Reitman, written by Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd, starring Bill Murray, Sigourney Weaver, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, Ernie Hudson. After losing their academic posts at a prestigious university, a team of parapsychologists go into business as proton pack toting Ghostbusters, who exterminate ghouls, hobgoblins, and supernatural pests all stripes. An ad campaign pays off when a knockout cellist hires the squad to purge her swanky digs of demons that appear to be living in her refrigerator. Ghostbusters, they ain't afraid of no ghosts. Did you rewatch this for the show?
I did.
Yeah. What'd you think?
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so funny. And I was really laughing out loud hard.
So I put this on after I watched Afterlife. Because I went into Afterlife. I knew nothing about Afterlife. I didn't know if it was a sequel or, like, I think we kind of talked last week. You said, I think it's a sequel to the originals. And it is. But I think they tried to keep that hidden a little bit until the reveal, like halfway through the movie. And so after Afterlife, I was like, I'm going to go back and watch Ghostbusters so I can understand the connection here. And God, it's such a funny movie.
So stinking funny. I mean, every Venkman one-liner just is the funniest thing. And I mean, Spengler and Stance, they're just, I mean, that trio of guys, it's so good, and it makes me wonder why they bring in the Ernie Hudson character at all.
Right. Why do you need to have the job? But I like, although I do like Winston.
Yeah, I do like it.
Yeah, and but
it,
is it, and he it shows makes, up halfway through the movie.
Yeah, it does make sense that, okay, yeah, they're overworked, and they need some help.
Yeah.
You're hired, you know?
Like, I guess he does work in this in that it is nice that you have a guy who's not a Ghostbuster, and then they kind of get to do exposition off him.
Yeah.
That he's not a scientist. So he gets that conversation with Ray in the car about revelations, and then Egon gets to explain the Twinkie to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he gets to just show up as a guy. But you're right. Yeah, those three guys are great. And then, Although he's, when they're in jail, he's just like, I don't even know these guys. I want my own lawyer.
My own lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It is. I'm working on this. I really like this movie. Logged it 5 stars. Gave it a hard on Letterboxd. I go, yep, this one is a classic. And then I watched the documentary. So I watched. Here's how my like a day went for me. Watched Afterlife. After I finished Afterlife, next day threw on Ghostbusters. After Ghostbusters ended, I saw the documentary on Freevee. I was like, let's watch this documentary. I go, these people see Ghostbusters differently than I saw Ghostbusters. Half-baked theory. I haven't really worked this out because I have a friend who's super into Ghostbusters too. But he's also a guy who's like, I'm going to build a proton pack. I love Afterlife. He went and saw Frozen Kingdom or whatever it's called. Loves it. And I'm like, this half-baked. But I'm like, I love Ghostbusters 1 too. But I was like, I like Ghostbusters because of Peter Venkman. Because he was a smartass. And that really shaped my humor as a kid. And I was a smartass. But then I think there are people who really love Egon. That's my theory so far. It's half-baked. But I'm like, I think there's people who watch Ghostbusters and they really love the gadgets and gizmos and...
Yeah, and see, I connect with Stance a lot because I like the occult.
Right, and then there's the third part, which is like, I don't even know we're Ray Stance fans.
Yeah, like, I like Stance because I like the occult stuff. I like the...
Was he your favorite? Stuff and, would you say if you had to pick a Buster?
Yeah, I think, okay, I think
Ray's,
so.
Ray's your guy? And if you're a Winston guy... You're just along for the ride.
It's just, yeah.
If you're a Winston guy, Ghostbusters isn't one of your favorite movies.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
I like Stance because I like the occult stuff. And then in 2, he's got the bookstore, you know, the occult bookstore and stuff.
Yep.
And I'm just, but his enthusiasm for everything.
Yes.
I like his enthusiasm for everything. Where Venkman is kind of like, he's the funny guy. He's the smart ass.
Right. But everything's a joke.
Everything's a joke, but he also doesn't seem like he's sold 100% on what they're doing. He's just, fuck it, if I can make a few bucks, let's do it.
He's throughout the whole thing, he's with them one every step of the way. He seems not resistant, but like, if there was something better for him to be doing, he would be doing it.
Yeah.
And he's kind of he comes off as a con man throughout the whole thing. Even though he's part of them.
Yep.
Yeah. But God, he says some funny things.
He says some really funny things.
Yeah. $30 million budget for Ghostbusters. $295 million at the domestic box office. 95% on Rotten Tomatoes based on 80 reviews. An infectiously fun blend of special effects and comedy with Bill Murray's hilarious deadpan performance leading a cast of great comic turns. There you go. So we do get Ghostbusters 2 5 years later, 1989. We did do an episode of that previously. Went back, actually listened to it. It was Ghostbusters 2 episode 250 came out April 2018. We both liked it. We both said we needed it, and we both came away saying it's a very good sequel.
Yeah, I stand.
Did you watch it?
I did watch it. Yeah.
That was one I didn't throw on.
Yeah, I did back-to-back. Okay. Back-to-back 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And first, I'd like to say, we talk about this all the time. That's a great, those are a great back-to-back watch.
Mm-hmm.
They really go.
The 5 year later opening. Yeah.
They just go right into it, and it makes, the 5 year gap makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, I'm still, like, I'm positive on it.
Yep.
It's the weaker of the two. But still funny, returning characters. Yeah.
Then we don't get a 3. We fast forward all the way to 2016. The movie gets rebooted. And then after that, that comes out to mixed critical consensus. I don't know what it does financially. I know super fans did not like that movie. We then go to 2021 and we get this reboot. This might be, Scream kind of makes fun of it, but this might be a true requel.
Yeah.
In that it's kind of reboot, but it's also a sequel.
Can I talk about the middle movie?
The Ladybusters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just for a split second.
Sure, yeah.
In
the episode, you hadn't seen it yet. So this is new info.
I have not seen it.
Oh, you still haven't seen it?
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do my due diligence here. Yeah. I'm going to be full up on Ghostbusters before this episode.
Yeah.
And the reason I've not seen Ladybusters is, one, I've made it no secret. I'm tired of the Melissa McCarthy shtick.
Yeah.
And her crew.
Yeah.
Like, I like them, but I just, when this movie came out, I was like dead exhausted on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Her comedy and
the market was getting a little saturated.
Yeah, I've had plenty of McCarthy. I've had plenty of Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, and Bridesmaids, Spy.
I'm not even sure if she's in it, but I'm tired of the Tina Fey thing. Oh. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to do my due diligence. And so I flipped it on. 2 hours and 31 minutes?
Yeah.
Nope. How the fuck can that movie be 2.5 hours long?
The fact that Afterlife was 2 hours and 5, I was like, okay. I didn't think anything of it. And then I throw on Ghostbusters, an hour and 44 minutes.
Yep.
I go, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Come on. Ghostbusters, hour 44 minutes.
When I saw the 2:30, I just was like, I'm repulsed.
Yeah. I
was insulted.
I own that movie digitally. I think it was one of these things. I signed up, Vudu or whatever, and it's like, okay, put in your digital library, we'll give you 10 free movies or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I have a weird collection of movies. Some of them I've watched, but I own A Knight's Tale digitally, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm ever gonna watch A Knight's Tale, but I guess I own it. They also gave me The Martian, which I have watched, and Ghostbusters 2016. It was like, oh, I surprisingly own every Ghostbusters movie except for Afterlife, so maybe I do the collection. But I was like, well, it doesn't pertain to Afterlife. I was kind of already up against it, and I decided to watch the documentary, and I was like, yeah, 2 hours 30 minutes, I don't have time to throw this on. I don't think it's gonna be much of a conversation to have.
Exactly. Yeah.
I saw it when we did episode 250. My feelings listening back to the episode was it was fine. I don't think it really I don't understand why they did a reboot of Ghostbusters. It was, listening back to that episode, the thing I was saying they should do is what they did in Afterlife, which is, my big complaint was I don't understand why they're doing a reboot of Ghostbusters to put a all-female lead. I'm not women in comedy, yeah, we should have more movies. Rebooting a movie that already exists to then say girls are going to be in it, I was like, I don't think that's empower. That's not
exactly.
They should, Bridesmaids was a huge hit. They wrote that movie. Yes. It was an original comedy that they were in. So I was like, you want these women to be in Ghostbusters? Then just make it a sequel to Ghostbusters. But you got to have Bill Murray and Dan. You need those people in it to bridge it. And now, it's 20. So 6-8 years later, and people still hate that movie. At least the super fans, Frozen Palace or whatever is out now. The conversation is coming back up online. And it's I think it's because you are erasing the thing that they loved. And when people, I hate when people say it's ruining my childhood. It's no, because Ghostbusters still exists. That movie's still awesome.
Right. You can always watch it.
The idea of we're just saying the thing that you love doesn't exist, and we're just going to present it with new people. And Bill Murray will make a cameo, but you need those characters to tell the audience it's okay that these new people are here. Otherwise people are going to revolt, and you could put anybody there and people will probably be like, this sucks. It doesn't help that, not only are you hurting Super Ghostbusters, but there are male people who will just see a woman movie. I'm not going to see that.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the original cast to be a bridge. Yeah. So I didn't go back and rewatch it. But yeah, it's too long.
So long.
I think Paul Feig suffers from the same thing I don't like about Judd Apatow movies. Too long. Take it down. Hour 50. Bridesmaids is way too long.
I like
Bridesmaids.
Maybe it's super funny. Hire a different editor.
Yeah.
Or something, that can help you trim these things down.
Yeah.
These are comedies.
Yeah. I think Bridesmaid's super funny. It should be under 2 hours.
I mean, I'm not as adverse to long movies like you. Like, we've talked about this before. Like,
I hate them.
But sometimes, man, like, especially a movie I was never, ever interested in at all.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. And then I see the runtime. I'm like, I just can't.
Right.
I can't.
And that's the thing. Like, a lot of audience are going to see that. It's like, okay, you're already not interested. It's going to star an actress that is, you've seen too much of, and you know, the return on her movies aren't good for you, you know, that run she was on. And then you're going to add a 2-hour and 30-minute runtime? People are going to shy away.
Yeah.
I may watch it again one day. Apparently, I'm a ghost head because I own 3 of these things now, and I've seen this documentary.
I'm going to watch it eventually.
Ghost Heads is an awful name for the fans, too. Like, Ghost Heads. I don't know what else you'd call
that's
them.
Not...
It's like, not a good name. It's, yeah. Buster Boys, or...
Proton people.
Yeah, because there were some women.
Ectolites.
Well, I like Ectolites. Ectolites. Yeah, Ectolites. Yeah. Like, if you're super into... Yeah, you're an Ectolite.
Yeah.
There you go. Mike, have you thought about getting into documentary film? The best thing about that documentary... Oh, I think overall, the documentary was fine. Like, it was... like a lot of... Most documentaries, I think, are okay. And then every now and then, there's documentaries like, wow, I actually learned a ton of stuff. This stuff, and they're like, this is okay. It ends with all these people we've been following getting invited to go watch 2016's Ghostbusters. But that's where the movie ends. I was like, the documentary really should be what happened after.
Yeah.
2021, we get Ghostbusters Afterlife. Written and directed by Jason Reitman, son of Ivan Reitman. Stars McKenna Grace, Finn Wolfhard, Carrie Coon, Paul Rudd, Bokeem Woodbine. When a single mom and her 2 kids arrive in a small town, they begin to discover their connection to the original Ghostbusters and the secret legacy their grandfather left behind. Ghostbusters Afterlife, uncover the past, protect the future. Was this your first time watching Ghostbusters Afterlife?
It was.
What was your... Okay, so we know 2016 Ghostbusters, you really have no interest in it. What was your interest level with Afterlife 2021?
Until... It was zero, really, because honestly, I thought it was a sequel to
Ladybusters.
The Ladybusters.
Yeah.
But then, like, a couple weeks ago, I saw the preview for the one that's in theaters now, and I'm just, Frozen Empire or whatever. I'm like,
yeah.
This movie looks freaking awesome.
Frozen Empire.
Yeah. Like, and then I was like, Oh yeah, I do remember hearing that Afterlife actually was a direct sequel to the Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd movies. So that piqued my interest. But it was really the preview for the newest one, which I haven't watched and we didn't watch, no. Got me interested to see this. Because I'm like, that preview looks freaking awesome.
Yeah.
What am I missing here?
I saw So Afterlife came out, and I think at that point... I was kind of tired of the Ghostbusters conversation that 2016 sparked. And then this came. And so we were talking about Melissa McCarthy, where I was kind of having Stranger Things fatigue.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It was a huge Netflix thing.
Netflix and then It.
Yeah, then It had those same vibes. And like there were just a lot of shows and movies. Like it was kind of following these vibes. And then I saw this trailer and I go... This looks like Ghostbusters meets Stranger Things.
Right.
Which is funny because Stranger Things, like, they, like, oh, it's 80s, like, they go see Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. And by this time, and even casting, like, Finn Wolfhard, I was like, yeah, I don't want to see this. And then, so it's 2021. This is the year after COVID, I guess, right? We're just getting back to theaters.
I feel like
this kind of just came and went. And
yeah,
there wasn't a lot of conversation about
this.
This
was still in the... People were still not going to the theaters yet.
Yeah. $75 million budget, $204 million at the box office, so maybe cinema's back in 2021. 63% on Rotten Tomatoes based on 306 reviews. Ghostbusters Afterlife crosses the streams between franchise revival and exercise and nostalgia. And this time around, the bustin' mostly feels good. What did you like about Ghostbusters Afterlife?
As far as a sequel to a dust off an old property sequel, I thought they did a fantastic job of connecting these movies from the 80s to this new requel.
Was the reveal that the grandfather was Egon, was that surprising at all?
No, I picked up on it pretty quick.
Yeah, that same with me. That's Egon.
Plus, I was deducing from what I know of real life. I'm like, I know Harold Ramis had passed away in like 2013, 2014.
Yep.
Clearly, they got the glasses vibe on the chick.
Yeah.
And looks just like Egon's glasses. I'm like, okay. And they kind of, there's a shot in the first opening scene that I think they're trying to like do a shadowy Egon. And I'm like, okay, I think I know what's going on here. So yeah, I picked up on that pretty.
Yeah. I don't think they needed to wait as long as they did to like, oh, that's Egon's daughter and grandkids. Cause I was like, it's pretty obvious. It was obvious from, I mean, the opening scene, which the opening scene's great. That to me was like, that's Ghostbuster vibes. It's a little scary. This movie also looks great. It's shot really, like, it just has a great look to it. Things are a little darker. It's not that bright, cartoony, which, you know, Marvel kind of had, like this kind of has like a little darker. So it kind of feels more like the 80s movie. Great opening scene, but right away I'm like, that's Egon. And then when they cut to Carrie Coon and the daughter looks up and she says something, I was like, oh, that's a little Egon.
Yep, looks like Spengler right there. Yeah.
She's great. I don't know what that little girl is in, McKenna Grace. I thought she was the best character in this movie.
Right? She's in some stuff. I know she's done a Marvel and yeah, she's in some stuff.
I don't normally like kid actors, and we'll get into some of the kid actors and kid characters. I thought, like, as an actress, she was fun, like, good, and story-wise and how she's written, I was like, this is great. Yeah, this is the granddaughter of Egon. She got the science gene, and she will take over the legacy of Ghostbusters. Totally into that.
Yeah. I'm actually, like, that's a positive for me as the kid actors. I'm not sure if Finn Wolfhard's a kid anymore. He may be 18 now. But that was, I was like, I love all three of these kids. Yeah. Absolutely love all four if you count the girl that works at the burger shop. I love the podcast. I absolutely love podcasts.
Oh man, we are going to differ so hard.
And I mean, I thought Grace McKenna was great and Finn Wolfhard, guy's got a future. I was getting a little Stranger Things like fatigue as well, but I was like,
I was surprised with him that how little he's in this movie being Finn Wolfhard.
That's the thing. I thought he was number one character.
Same with me. I thought he was the number one character in this movie, and so I, as the movie was going, I was like, I really like that they're focusing on the granddaughter, and he's just kind of. Not, I don't say background, like he plays a part of the movie, but he's not really, I mean, if you rank characters in importance, he's like the fourth on the call sheet kind of guy. And yeah, he's fine. I don't know if I need like the love, like anytime we kind of cut to him, I was always more like, just bring me back to the Ghostbusters thing. And then watching Ghostbusters, I was like, I like that this is really the Peter Venkman movie, and then everyone's just kind of around him, and it's an hour and 40 minutes. It's like, I don't know if I need him working at the burger store, and then the burger store is what my son calls restaurants. He goes in the burger store. the burger restaurant. There was some of that, but as him, I was like, yeah, he's good. I like him as a... He's a good actor.
I don't think it was necessary towards the movie, but it didn't bother me, because it never got... It never got awkward. It never got, like... weird love triangle with another dude. Like, he just was he was just working at the restaurant, had this thing for this girl, and then like went off with those other kids and they did their thing. They didn't like haze him or whatever. It was just like, I don't know. It just seems so positive. It's so kind of refreshing that it wasn't some bad, the local kid that hates the new kid.
You almost kind of were expecting that scene, right? They take him up to the well, and then, like, they get in the thing. It's like, oh, they're going to prank him by leaving him.
Yeah.
You know, but it doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it never gets, like you say, it's never too long. It's just, I would much rather, I was more invested in Egon's daughter, I didn't learn any character names other than podcast, which we're going to get to that in the negatives. Character name podcast.
Phoebe.
I was more interested in Phoebe, and then when it wasn't on Phoebe, I was like, okay, then I'm more interested in the mom and the teacher.
Gary.
And then so I was like, okay, so now we're into a third story.
Gary Gruberson.
Yeah, Gary Gruberson. So I was like, so now we're into a third story. I'm like, I don't even know if I need this. Like, let's just get to it. But it wasn't, you know, it's not, they don't spend too much time. And it's, nothing, it doesn't hurt anything. Other than just, you know, now it's like 2 hours, 3 minutes. And it's like, okay, now we're into a third story. What else works in this?
I love the bringing back the Gozer, mm-hmm. and the Gatekeeper and the Keymaster. I mean, that's classic stuff. And I at first when we saw all those carvings in the wall, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I hope they don't just rehash that. But then they did. Yeah. But it kind of made sense, and I liked it.
This is a successful requel, which I don't love the term. I think that's silly. But this is like a prime example of, like, it's a sequel, but it's a reboot. So we are rebooting. Like, they did reboot the first one because it's the same story as the first one. But it's also, like, they successfully do it. Of, like, yeah, you're going to fight Gozer again because it's a reboot. But it's a sequel, so we're going to have new characters in it.
Yeah.
It worked. It's kind of... For, like, the nostalgia, you know, they put in the review of this. This does have a lot of, like, you watch this, and if you're a fan of Ghostbusters, if you're a Ghosthead or a Ectolite, you do point at the screen a lot, and you're like, eh.
Easter eggs everywhere.
Ton of Easter eggs.
And that, to me, is a positive. I just have such fond memories of the original that, like, Easter egg it up. Sometimes Easter eggs get a little obnoxious, depending on the film.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, Crunch Bar. I know what that's about. Twinkie. Yeah. I know what that's about.
There's no, as of, like, it was almost too much, but I'm like, if the big argument for 2016 was like, there was no fan service, or it was disrespectful to fans, and then Jason Reitman actually coming out and saying, like, we're doing this for the fans, I was like, you sure did it. Because this is a lot, fans are definitely going to watch this and just be like, a lot of stuff. Bringing in the original cast, like, I am just a sucker for it. Like, it showed up, and I was just like,
Annie Potts shows up early.
And yeah, then... she shows up early. I thought she was going to be in it more, because I was like, oh, they're bringing her in. So, like, she came in so early, I was like, oh, maybe she will be a character that Phoebe can, you know, we get, you know, history from her, but she never returns. And then the three, you know, having the three guys show up at the end, I was like, all right, you know, this is a cheap emotional manipulation by a movie, but it works.
But you know, it's interesting because I was thinking about it after. I'm like, why didn't Rick Moranis show up? And then I was like, well, would that just be? Does everyone have to show up?
I thought Sigourney Weaver showing up was way unnecessary.
But they left it for the end credits.
Yeah.
Like, it, because it was clearly just a tack on. Like,
it was, I don't know what the shooting thing was, but it's like, I guess, and it is end credits, so it's not part of the movie, so I don't have any beef with it other than saying, like, this was unnecessary, like, just to have her there. It was just a funny scene.
I just thought it was a funny, yeah, for me, I like that, because I was like, yeah, that's a funny way to bring her in. Just, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's after the movie.
But, so, with Rick Moranis, like, I guess they could have done something like that, too. But, yeah, in the actual story, you don't need to bring everybody.
Yeah, back. You don't have to bring every single person.
Peck would have been good to see Walter Peck back.
And I think absolute, like, a good, respectful, and great way to deal with Harold Ramis. Like, they're doing the de-aged hologrammy animation thing, but the most important thing is he never speaks. That is by far the strongest choice they made.
Definitely.
In relation to that.
I didn't know. I'm not sure how I feel about people who pass away and then are brought back into movies as, you know, like Carrie Fisher and sorry, you know, Star Wars people. I don't know how I feel about it. Because he died way before this movie was ever made. So I was like, just agreeing to put him in there. I was like, towards the end, I was like, I think he's in this, his visual representation is maybe too much. I like that he was just a, you know, controlling the lamp kind of thing. I was like, okay, because we don't have to see Harold Ramis. Because now he's just Egon the character. But it's like, now you're bringing back an actual person, Harold Ramis. I think they handled it in a classy way, and not having him, like, not having, because now it's like, okay, now you're using an image, but now you're using his voice to say things that he's not actually saying. Like, it's a weird time.
It is a weird time, man.
And it's weird that just taking the stuff we can do.
I'm the same with you. I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not sure where I stand on that.
Right, because yeah, this is like 10 years after he died. Like,
I'm not sure where I stand. I don't know if I like de-aging technology or not.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they work, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, yeah. I think this, when he shows up, I'm like, okay. And then he was there for so long, then the hug, and he disappears. I was like, they rode right up to the line of like, how much of this do I actually want to see of, you know, someone who's passed on that you're using new footage. Like, you are creating the footage of, mm-hmm. of this person. It's a weird thing you can do in movies.
Yeah,
hologramming people.
It is.
Yeah. Let's see. The action in this movie, I watched this, watching it and then watching Ghostbusters, this feels like a very fun, like, family movie. But it doesn't feel like when we were talking about, like, why I like Ghostbusters, I was like, oh, I like Peter Venkman. He's a smart-ass. He's saying that. But, and when I was a kid, I'd always watch it. I was like, oh, this is like an adult. I'm watching an adult comedy, even though I'm sure it's pretty, like, PG. Because this, I feel like, watching, I was like, oh, this is a kid's movie. And it's clearly a kid's movie, but it's a good kid's movie. And so I like the action in this movie. It felt very, like, Stranger Things, like, we're gonna watch some kids go on a fun adventure. So I'm putting that in the positive there.
I didn't feel it was too of a kid movie. I thought it was a very adult movie personally.
Oh
yeah,
I mean it doesn't have the humor of the first two Ghostbusters, and I think that's just a Bill Murray thing.
Yeah, he's at a level above.
Yeah. And so, but I mean, the main characters are, this movie, I feel like if we were saying, oh, it was the Ghostbusters Stranger Things, I do feel like the action of it was very Stranger Things. I think it's just because I'm watching what? So Finn Wolfhard's character, Trevor, is supposed to be 15. Podcast, if he, like, they're middle school. So I am watching middle schoolers, like, go on this, like, ghost adventure. And yeah, it just feels like a movie I could watch with like a 10-year-old and we could both enjoy it, but it's not like showing a 10-year-old Ghostbusters where I'd be like, I don't know if you should watch Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like,
no one has sex with a ghost in this movie.
I feel like this is a little, like, to me this is more like instead of Stranger Things meets Ghostbusters, uh-huh. to me this is Goonies meets Ghostbusters.
Goonies might be a good
But yeah, I mean, I didn't feel it was like, to me, I'm like, this, I wasn't like, I'm watching it. I didn't feel like I was watching a kid's movie.
Oh, I crossed my arms and I said, I am above this. I pay taxes. this is for children. What didn't you like about Ghostbusters 2? Or Afterlife?
Let's see.
Technically 3.
What didn't I like? Gosh, I'm gonna be honest. I really enjoyed this movie. I feel like Paul Rudd's character needed a little more. We kind of got his whole blowing off the summer school thing, but then having like this true like scientific,
yeah,
like it, you know, curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like. I just don't believe he would just like put on Cujo for some kids.
When he throws on Cujo and then he finds out that he's a. Yeah, he has this, like, he's studying the earthquakes in the town. So, in the negative, like, I don't think this movie's that funny. Like, I mean, Ghostbusters to me is, like, it's a comedy first. Like, that's, like, when I rewatched Ghostbusters, I was like, this movie's hilarious. I watched Afterlife, I'm like, this movie's really not that funny. Like, it's a good adventure movie. Like Goonies, but it's not a comedy. I thought Paul Rudd would have given us more of that, like, Peter Venkman humor. I was like, oh yeah, he's this teacher who's going to throw on Cujo and he's going to like have a bunch of funny things to say. And then he really doesn't. And then he turns into a dog. And so, you know, he's missing for like half the movie.
Just seems like underdeveloped for me. Yeah. I feel like he's a cool character.
Is he in Frozen Empire?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just seems like a cool, like a, I was intrigued with his character, but then it just went nowhere. He turned into a dog, became the gatekeeper, or became the keymaster. That was it.
Yeah.
You know, we had a scene in the Walmart.
Yeah.
And I was a little disappointed with that.
I did not like Mini Marshmallows. I thought that was too cute fanservice.
I liked it, that
crossed for me.
I liked it because it was the antithesis, right? So in one, we have the one big giant marshmallow man. They're like, we got to bring Stay Puft back somehow. How about a bunch of mini marshmallow men? And when they were roasting each other on a fire, I was laughing my ass off.
Turning
each other into s'mores?
They did do that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. The nitpicky is like, yeah, but there was this giant Stay Puft marshmallow man because Gozer said choose what defeats you, and Ray thinks of the Stay Puft marshmallow. That's why we have a giant Stay Puft marshmallow
man. God, you're such a ghost head, dude. You're such an ectolite.
Yeah. This was just like, they just showed up,
yeah.
For fans to say, marshmallow man.
Exactly.
And it was like, that one just...
That is really the only reason they are there.
Yeah, that was a step too far.
And then, I mean, they could have just left it, that one building had the old Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man mural.
Totally
fine. That would have been fine, and they didn't need these mini guys.
Yeah, I didn't need it.
But I like their choice of the
mini. It does kind of go in the negative of how well I think this is actually looks shot-wise. I do think some of the CGI is not great, and the little marshmallow man. Like, they were like, I mean, they're little. They have to climb on stuff. I was like, it crosses that point where I was like, it's obvious this is computer generated. And I thought the same thing with the chase too, where I was like, oh, something's happening on my TV. Where I was like, this doesn't. Or no, it wasn't the chase. It was when they fix up the Ecto-1, or Finn Wolfhard does, Trevor, and he drives it. It just kind of crossed this like, my TV doesn't look right. And so I was like, oh yeah, this is like bad.
Oh, wait, like
going through the
violent through the
week. Yeah, and I was like, I was like, this movie looks great, and then that happened. I was like, oh, it doesn't look great anymore. I was like, oh, because they're introducing the CGI of it.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, it's not bad, but it was a little distracting.
And if you've ever driven through a field in a vehicle,
yeah,
you can't drive like that.
Yeah,
not through a field.
And then not that fast. You can't be doing donuts.
No.
Yeah. Come on.
No.
They're not.
I mean, I was all grass. When he fired it up and he's going to go hot rod it, I was cheering. I'm like, yeah, let's take this baby for a rip. And then he's like rallying through a wheat field. I'm like, well, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah. and then for that, I mean, I think a character named Podcast is it's not just bad actors. I don't think any of the kids in this movie were bad actors. They were not how I judge a kid actor. But then there's another part of it where it's like adults writing for kids where they make them too precocious. And I was like, the kid's fucking name is Podcast.
I absolutely loved Podcast. Maybe not his name. Loved Podcast. I loved the character.
Podcast to me. So
loved
this
the actor,
is
love the character.
Why it goes into more kid movie for me, because a character like that is more Goonies than like Ghostbusters, where I'm like, you know, Ray and Egon, like, I was like, okay, I'm watching adult. I'm watching men in their 30s.
Yeah.
You know, scientists. When you have a character like this, and you know, he's a kid, he's a middle schooler. Like, he's got to be a kid. For me, so that's why it's like, okay, this is Stranger Things. This is Goonies. This is Stranger Things. as opposed to like an adult comedy like Ghostbusters. I don't have no problem with the actor. I have closed captions on. It's just how I have to watch movies now. And when he introduced himself to a podcast, I was like, that's stupid. And then I kind of forget about it. But then every time he talks or he's off screen, it pops up on my TV, podcast, colon, grunts. Podcast screams. I'm like, God, that's such a stupid name choice. I hope by the end of it we learn his name is just John.
But he gives himself that name. That's why it's stupid. But to me, that's why it's funny.
That's even...
He's calling himself that because that's what a dumb kid would do.
It just seems like they wrote this character. It's like, oh yeah, we're gonna call him Podcast. And he's got his tape. I do like the payoff of the joke of Ray as his one listener.
Yes.
That's what, I don't have a problem with the kid having a podcast.
You're my subscriber?
It's just his name was Podcast. I was like, I'm not in the movie, but I'm not calling you Podcast. I don't think Phoebe's going to call you Pod. I guess she does refer to him as Podcast, right?
That's how he is in the credits. Podcast.
Podcast. Are you going to put that on your flight suit? Podcast?
Your helmet?
I'm going to hate that.
That's your pilot call name?
Yeah. I assume he's in Frozen Empire, and they're going to suit up, and they're going to
he's going to say podcast for sure. Yeah.
I like it. Okay. I barely like the teen girl named Lucky. It's like, give characters real names. Lucky. That's not a child's name. You tell me the sheriff of Somerville, Oklahoma, named his daughter Lucky? She works at a burger store. Let's see. Okay. I did have this. So this is a sequel. I think it's a pretty good sequel to the two. Does Ghostbusters 2 exist in this universe?
Yeah. Yeah, because Stanso answers the phone, he's in his occult bookstore.
Does it make it less... It just seems odd to me that, again, so we watch Ghostbusters 2, and we find out that there are people skeptical about the events of Ghostbusters 1, and the city of New York sues the Ghostbusters, right? That's kind of the start of it. After they pilot the Statue of Liberty, wouldn't that part of, like, the it's 25 years later, someone... Because it happened in the 80s. Just the amount of people who don't remember the Ghostbusters. It's hard for me to grasp that.
Yeah.
And then Paul Rudd's character referring to them is like, oh, they're the guys who blew the top off this build, the high-rise building. I was like, oh, okay. So, but he didn't refer to, it's like, yeah, they also drove the Statue of Liberty through
New York. I mean, I think there's definitely a... a belief system that they choose, like, within the franchise that they choose to employ or not, depending on the scene.
Right.
I mean, it's also like you can kind of think like, oh, there's all these people, they're seeing ghosts for the first time. They're not really freaking out like you think they would.
No one reacts to ghosts the way you would react to like a ghost.
Yeah, so to me, they're like, okay, this is a world where ghosts like, it's not a secret that there were ghosts and they were captured, like, and there was some team.
Although,
it was so far in the past that I think we're at a part here where we're... Yeah, nitpicking the theory of ghosts
and it just seems that's why I was like, maybe 2 doesn't exist, and maybe like Ray being in the bookstore was just like a nod to it, but just that there was no reference to like pretty crazy thing that happened, and then
when they were slime and
they really just all their reference when people are talking about the Ghostbusters, they only are talking about the events of the first one. And so I was like, oh, maybe 2 didn't happen?
Yeah, maybe they're choosing to...
And so Ray being in... And then it would make sense that... Because the way 2 starts, Ghostbusters 2, is people deny the events of Ghostbusters 1 happen. And then by the end of the movie, you know, the entire city of New York has to embrace it and sing in order to, get rid of the painting man. So, because this is like a reboot sequel, I was like, oh, people forgetting the events of Ghostbusters or passing it off as like, oh, it was just a story or, you know, it was a hoax. I was like, oh, like the beginning of two. So they just kind of built that into this story as well. That's why I was like curious. Like, do you think there was a river of slime and they drove the Statue of Liberty?
I do. I don't think they are writing it out like we're writing out how certain Halloween movies right. or certain Friday the 13th movies or whatever in the canon.
Yeah, see, I kind of kept going, I think this is a sequel to just one. Because I think the Statue of Liberty thing would be just too crazy for people to be like, oh, yeah, I heard
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I guess, you know, one's probably the most beloved of them.
Yeah.
So.
And then, because then it also goes.
For them to just ignore too, I think that's fine.
Right, because then it also goes into the timeline of Egon having a daughter. Because I was like, okay, if there's not two, then it actually does make one, maybe does make more sense for him to have a daughter. Because I guess if you follow the math, it would be, when they show the wall, there are pictures of her, and it says like 1987. And so I was like, so at that point, Egon would be out of her life already. But 5 years later from 1984 would be 1989, which is when the events of Ghostbusters 2 happened. So I was just trying to follow the timeline of this sequel of like, okay, when did Egon have a daughter? It would have been right before the events of 1984.
Yeah.
But if he was still living in New York, I was like, well,
then what age was she when he left?
Yeah, it looks like in 1987 she's like 5 based on the picture, based on the board they show of her. Like, she's like 4 or 5 years old, and he has like, because he has like notes next to like all her life milestones. And I was like, well, if in 1989 he was still just a Ghostbuster, yeah. It's, you gotta do some of these timeline manipulations of what it is. And, God, we're seeing so many of these like reboots where they just go, yeah, the events of, you know, Halloween, right?
Yeah.
Two didn't even happen. It's like, it was just one.
Yeah, and I guess do we need an announcement? Does Bill Murray need to do a TED Talk and tell us, this is why Ghostbusters 2 and Ladybusters does not exist? No, he doesn't.
Right.
We can just, to me, okay, Ray's got the occult bookstore, so I'm like, okay, two existed in some way.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. It looks like Frozen Empire takes place in New York. It looks New York-y.
Yeah.
I wonder if someone's going to point out, it's like, hey, look at that big-ass statue. Remember when we drove it? That'd be a nice little nod. I bet the Ectolites are going to, you know, nudge each other in the theaters. Like, I know what they're referring to.
Yeah.
Does this make you want to see Frozen Empire?
It does.
Do you want to see a sequel to this movie?
Yeah, I do want to see Frozen Empire.
I like this, but at the end of it, I kind of was just like, that's fine. Frozen Empire, I probably will watch it, but it will be one of these, like, I'll get to it when I get to it kind of things. It didn't make me want to be like, I need more of this.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like, I'll be happy it exists when I see it eventually, but it didn't make me like, yeah, give me more of these.
I'm along the line, like, I do want to see Frozen Empire, but I'm like, not changing my plans to go to the theater.
Right. It's like,
yeah.
When it comes, I'm sure this will be on HBO, and
yeah.
From there, that's probably where I'll catch it, but it's not, it is like, I'm fine with this existing, but it's not, I don't, as an Ectolite, I don't need to immediately go see this.
How do you feel about the Ecto-1 upgrades that we don't know when they happened, but they happened?
Like the door.
The door and the ramp and the trap, remote control car trap.
Right. When do they add that?
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, there's this space. There's 25 years.
This is another reason why I... That also ties into, like, I don't know if two existed. Because Ray tells it that the high-rise incident happens in the building with Gozer. Then Ghost kind of dry up, which happens in 2. But then we see Ecto-1 in 2. It doesn't have all these upgrades. And then the way Ray's kind of tells the story is like, it dies up, you know, dries up. There's not that many ghosts. Egon goes a little whack. And then one day just takes all our stuff. And that's, but the upgrades to me would be like, that would happen right after the high-rise, right? Like, when the business is good, they're making all this stuff.
I can see it
happening. To your question. I think it's cool.
I think better see. Personally, I think the Ecto-1 upgrades happened after 2. That's why I think 2 does exist. Because so I think they kept busting after 2 and it dried up again.
So
because they caught all the ghosts.
When does Egon leave for Oklahoma?
I don't know. That's the thing.
1995?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think like his daughter is an infant child. I think she might be like, you know, he's got the pictures and stuff of her, but he could have left when she was 7 years old.
Yeah. 7, but that'd be like right after the 2. So, okay, so 2 happens, then they upgrade Ecto-1, then he takes off. Either way, I like a gunner seat in
Ecto-1. Oh, gunner seat is badass.
Yeah, I like the upgrades.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We get more inside Ecto-1 than we do in any other movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you actually get to see the inner workings of it.
I loved Ecto-1. I was all, yeah, the gunner seat was, that was just a cherry on the top for me. I like that. Just fun.
Yeah. They're going to sell some toys.
Yep. Just kind of remind me of Ninja Turtles Party Wagon, you know, and
right.
pizza Shooter and the old 80s cartoon. And
what about a remake? Is it time to remake? Say, Afterlife, you had your fun with the kids, but let's remake Ghostbusters yet again. All new cast.
Been tried, been failed. No.
I think the reason that this is successful was, like, yeah, you needed to do a sequel. And now, I don't know if in the third one, or the fourth one, I guess. See, now you can do a movie where it's like, you don't need Bill Murray or Dan Aykroyd or Ernie Hudson in them. Because they were in this one. It's like, okay.
Pass the torch.
Yeah. You get the blessing. So now you can just have it, and it can just be about Phoebe and Trevor and Paul Rudd and podcasts. Lucky. I don't know. I guess Paul Rudd would be the, he'd be kind of the Rick Moranis then, right?
I feel like...
And we got like, the core four, now he's going to kind of want to be a Ghostbuster too.
To me, I feel like Podcast was more the Rick Moranis character.
But he gets a suit right away.
He's super smart, and he's smarter than Rick Moranis and stuff. I mean, probably not in accounting.
Yeah, I would say.
But, like, he's that comedy relief to me. Gary Gruberson is just... Yeah, I'm interested to see what Paul Rudd's role is in
Frozen Empire. Did Podcast have a salmon guy? Get it for half the cost? Yeah. Does he have an ibuprofen guy? It's generic, but it works just as well. And best part, it's a tax write-off. I love that scene in the party. He's just telling everybody's business.
Yep.
I did ask AI. I said, robot, it's been done. Mike says we don't need it again. But, hey, why don't you give it a shot? Afterlife doesn't exist. Cast me a Ghostbusters movie with actors today. And here's what they came up with. Peter Venkman, Ryan Reynolds, Raymond Stantz, Paul Rudd. So he still gets to exist in the universe. Egon, Jesse Eisenberg, Winston Zeddemore, Sterling K. Brown, Dana Barrett, Jennifer Lawrence, and then Lewis Tully is Michael Cera.
I don't think that's terribly bad casting.
Ryan Reynolds can do that smart ass kind of thing. I might be Ryan Reynolds fatigued, but I mean, if you're saying, hey, who's like a charming smart ass in Hollywood, like he's probably the first guy I would think of. I think they kind of nail all the characters.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd as Ray, like he does have that like enthusiasm. You could see him sliding down the fire pole and be like, we should stay here tonight. Eisenberg, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems uninspired, AI. Yeah.
Definitely typecast every role for sure.
I don't want to like say too much about ChatGPT, but this seems a bit soulless. It seems like soulless. It seems like soulless casting. It's like, okay, we're checking boxes now.
Yeah.
Sterling K. Brown as Winston.
I've never thought of it this way, but geez, would he just be like an Ernie Hudson stand-in? yeah, you tell me he just shows up halfway through the movie and just kind of just there to say things like, yep, you nailed that modern day Ernie Hudson to Sterling K. Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, no remake. What about a spinoff? God, so many characters. There were a lot of characters in this movie, and I feel like they all kind of get equal. I mean, obviously Phoebe seems to be the main character, but everybody else gets like equal screen time. It's hard to say, okay, who didn't get it, who actually qualifies for spinoff. So it was like Paul Rudd and podcast are in this movie too much for spinoff.
My spinoff would be, it would be ghost related, but not Busters.
Okay.
It would be the small town sheriff.
Oh,
solving yeah. crimes and it'd be like an X-Files kind of thing, but yeah. He's like the viewers all know that ghosts are involved, and he's got, you know, but it's small town stuff. It's
yeah.
like, you know, that ghost that eats metal. It's like some guy, he's calling the cops because his cattle gate to his pen is weirdly mangled, right. And all the cows are out.
Yeah.
That's the spinoff I want to see. I want to see the small town crime investigation, light, comedic. Right.
But there's ghosts.
But there's super, it's supernatural.
Can he catch them?
No. No, he's not a Buster. Yeah. He doesn't got that kind of technology.
So just kind of ends.
Just kind of figuring it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's comedic. It's a little harmless. So, like, he can't catch a metal eating ghost, but he can convince the farmer to switch to, like, a wooden lock.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. That's okay. That was because I was really like, man, every character is in this. Like, there are like six main characters in this movie. It's hard to pick a spinoff. The sheriff would definitely be one. And this might be cheating a bit, but what about just Ray running the bookstore?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's a main character in the first two, but in this one, I mean, he's 5 minutes screen time, so. I think he qualifies, so we're just, yeah, raise the cult.
Raise the cult. Raise the cult books.
What do you think, Venkman's up to? He went back to academia, but what does that mean for him?
Well, I can't, he started doing, what'd they say, marketing and became a professor of marketing.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, he's a salesman, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just teaching kids. He's a con artist. He's teaching people to con people.
Yeah. I want to say that brief stint. We would recast Bill Murray. Like a young, we'd have to find the next young Bill Murray. I want that time where he was a game show host.
Oh, yeah.
Whether two exists or not, at some point in this universe, Peter Venkman hosted a psychic television
show. Yes. Yes.
I just see the rise and fall of that. What do you think of the title? Ghostbusters Afterlife.
I don't like it that much. I get it. But for some reason, I always want to say Ghostbusters Afterbirth. And I don't know why.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't. I'm going to rank it low. I'm going to give it like a 2 out of 5.
I don't think it's. I feel like it's just a word to be a word. Like, at the end, like, I was like, I don't know how this pertains, because, like, well, they're ghosts. Like, it is the afterlife. It just feels like they might have ran this through ChatGPT. It feels like it's just like, Ghostbusters Afterlife. Like, I mean, what's that to do with the movie? I don't know.
I think it has to do with the movie, because Spengler is directing and driving his family from the grave.
So that...
I think that's why they call it
that. I think it is just a name, but what it reminds me of is like, oh yeah, Harold Ramis is dead. And I was like, I don't know if your movie title should remind me that like a beloved person's... I don't like Afterlife. Frozen Empire.
Yeah,
I'm interested in Frozen Empire.
I don't like Afterlife either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you need to see Ghostbusters 1 or 2 in order to enjoy Afterlife? Or does this requel it enough that a new ectolite could be born from just this?
I think you're okay just going in.
Yeah, I think they do enough filling in the blanks for you. Just that conversation with Ray on the phone, he fills you in what happened.
I think if you watch too, you might be confused like I was. The Statue of Liberty, it's a big statue. I don't know if you've seen the specs on that lady. She's huge. Yeah, you could. I think a new audience, like if you're a
teen, is she naked under that toga?
Well, do we know if Peter found out or not? All right. Let's say we're just talking Ghostbusters Afterlife. You've seen them both. Which would you throw on again if you need to watch a movie?
Man, I did like Afterlife a lot, but definitely the original.
Yeah. I liked that. I thought Afterlife, when I was done with it, I was like, that's good. That was a good movie. And I watched Ghostbusters. I was like, this is a great movie. Like, this is a classic.
I mean, I could pick either of these to be. I did. I really liked Afterlife a lot. If I had to choose Desert Island, yeah, I'm going OG. But, you know, on a random Sunday afternoon,
yeah, I'll throw that.
Got some snacks.
You've seen Ghostbusters a thousand times. You've seen Afterlife once. 2 months from now?
I think if I wanted to watch a Ghostbusters movie this coming weekend, I'd put on Afterlife again.
Okay.
Before original. Just because I'd like to maybe catch some more Easter eggs or something. I missed. That kind of thing.
And then finally, Ghostbusters Afterlife, did we need it?
This is one of those, like, ones where I absolutely loved it, but I want to say, no, I don't think we needed more Ghostbusters at all.
Yeah.
But, so, no, we didn't need it, but I liked it.
I
loved it.
I'm right there with you. I liked this movie. I don't know if I'd go full on love. I liked it. It was enjoyable. I don't know if I'm like hankering to watch it again the way I do for Ghostbusters. I guess we're getting a sequel. We'll see how successful the sequel is, whether like both financially, which will let us know if we get more of these, or just, you know, did we individually like it? But was I like, man, we need more Ghostbusters in my life? I was like, I don't think we did. And I think this movie does a good job of, like, the fan service and the Easter eggs and stuff, but that's not enough. Like, there was nothing, like, new or exciting. Yeah. I was like, it's good. I don't think you necessarily needed to reboot.
Not new or exciting. There's a gunner chair in the Ecto-1.
Outside of that, and like I said, that's going to be a great toy for a kid. That kid's going to get that on Christmas. It's going to pop out. I don't think we needed Ghostbusters Afterlife. If you have thoughts on Ghostbusters, if you're a ghost head, if you're a Buster Boy, if you're an Ectolite, you can email the show at dbtgpodcast@gmail.com. You can comment on Spotify. You can review on iTunes. It's my turn to pick, right? Dustin off the glass. And me and Mike already talked about this. I don't know if this is a sequel. I don't know if this is a reboot. I don't know if this is a requel. Could be a reimagining. We're going to watch, new to Amazon Prime, Roadhouse, the Jake Gyllenhaal, Conor McGregor movie. He's in a lot of the commercials.
Is that who that is?
Yeah, McGregor. So it is somehow connected, maybe just a name alone, to Roadhouse, a cult classic.
Cult classic.
From the 1980s. And here we are, 40 years later, doing it again.
Doing it up.
Dusting it off.
It's our boy Jake.
Yep, you can catch this on Amazon Prime. Till then, it's been Don't Be That Guy, Guy to Sequel and Remix.
Ectolites, unite.
Hey, remember that one summer we died under a table?